back, and let's just say the Spurs are back too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're actually back to back. Because that's
I
two
know
wins
morale
in
was
two.
Down after the last match mm-hmm. or whatever, the last episode yeah. we recorded. But since yep. then, the season, the morale, it's all back to where we
it
were.
Has
maximum
turned
joy.
Around.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of the nice thing about football. It has the memory of a goldfish.
Exactly.
We won in Coventry midweek in the Carabao Cup. And yes, I care a lot about the Carabao now because we came from, 87 after the Arsenal game up to the 87th minute of that game. Things were looking very bad. We were about
low,
to lose
low,
to a championship
low,
side
low.
Team.
Morale
yeah,
got
that
low,
would have been
low, 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 low,
low.
Yeah.
But then a Jed Spence equalizer, a Brennan Johnson winner, and we are through to the fourth round of the Carabao Cup. I think for the first time in since 2021, actually.
Oh, okay. So that means something.
Kind of. I mean, we do just suck at the Carabao Cup, apparently. Even though we were in the final of it, I think, in 2021. Anyway, yeah. Big win. Not necessarily. I really just for the confidence, for the ego. That took us into the weekend where Tottenham came away with a vital and emphatic victory at White Hart Lane this Saturday after falling behind in the 25th second off a lethal Mbeumo chop. The doubters were firing up their Twitter accounts only to be silenced when Dominic Solanke equalized in the 8th minute. The detractors were further humbled as Brennan Johnson put the Spurs ahead and James Maddison ensured the 3 points beyond doubt with a tidy chip over the keeper before full time. Spurs will take this newfound confidence on the trot to Old Trafford at the weekend. Come on, you Spurs.
Old Trafford?
Manchester United much, dude.
Oh, right. We're going to be together for that game.
Oh, that's correct. Sunday. That's right. We should watch it at a bar. It is a big
one. That's cool. Who's better between those two teams?
It's hard to... I mean, there's a lot of similarities between them. I think... Well, I guess actually, they have a lot of talent and they should be better than they are. And they're kind of an embarrassment. I think their coach is kind of controversial. He like loses the confidence of the players. So we're not similar in that regard. Everybody loves our coach. But yeah, you can kind of get uneven performances from them. They can either dazzle or bore, depending
anything is possible
on the day. Yeah. So hopefully we take it to them. It would be great. I really felt like, I mean, we were just in fine form on Saturday. We were taking it to them every single chance we got. High energy, relentless press.
I mean, going down in the first minute feels rare.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't. I think it happens to somebody just about every weekend,
where it's like the game just started and it's like, holy shit, that was fast.
Yeah. And it didn't faze me. I was like kind of annoyed, but I was like, they scored too early. That's like,
yeah, we still got a full
match.
There's
a lot of time. Yeah. And then it was nice that we scored pretty quickly. We didn't let it knock us too hard, scored pretty quickly. And then it felt like the game was just back 0-0. And I thought we looked great the entire time. We gave them a couple decent chances, but yeah, it's a great game.
I mean, it seemed like there was always the amount of opportunities in every match. Just sometimes the ball goes in. That's like my ignorant view of the matches, where it's like, yeah, 10 shots on goal every game, and sometimes you get zero, and sometimes you get four, right. And that's the difference between a devastating loss and an emphatic victory.
Totally. They had a few good chances. Vicario made a few really good saves. One amazing save that off the guy's head, just a single-handed diving header. Yeah. Diving catch, kept the ball out. And then, yeah, we had a lot of great chances that didn't get put in the back of the net. Like, it easily, that seemed, as crazy as it sounds, like that game could have been like, we could have had like 8 goals. That there were just that many shots, that many high-quality shots.
Right. Do you blame the other team? Was Brentford? I've never even heard of them, so they can't be that good.
They're pretty new. They're like... I think they got promoted a few years ago. They were a darling team. They're like a London a London team. It was a lot of like, I think it was around the time that like the Premier League started getting shown on Peacock, and a lot of like new supporters adopted the Brentford Bees because they were newly promoted. They're not supposed to be that good, but they were performing really well.
Underdog specials.
Yeah. And they were a fun team to watch. They play with a lot of energy, but they lost a lot of their best players. So they're not a great side right now. And I think one of their other best players was injured. So we were very much expected to win this game.
Yeah. I mean, the goals were awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the dream scoreline, honestly, because Solanke needed to get his first goal for his confidence. Brennan Johnson just deserves the world. I mean, two match winners in two games for a guy that was cyber bullied so hard that he got off social media.
Right. Did he ever reinstall that IG account, or is he still sort of zero dark 30, as it were?
It'd be time. It'd be a great time to do it. But I think...
Let's open the DMs now.
Opening it now kind of shows a little too much that the performance and the... You don't want to give the haters any sense of that their evil was affecting him.
I honestly wasn't even thinking about the crowd when I deactivated and reactivated.
Yeah. Instagram was distracting me. That was all it was.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Apparently, I was reading online that the stadium was very vocally behind him, which I love. And his goal celebration of shushing the away fans, but I think it kind of had that dual meaning of like,
oh, wow,
shushing the haters.
As soon as he opens it again, we should DM him some vitriol. Be like, it wasn't about two matches, you fucking asshole. Like, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I'm mad at you as a person.
Right.
You're
fine at football.
I love the fact that you scored the go-ahead goals. Like, that really was nice. That's why
he's
it's so hard to piss you off.
He scored plenty of clutch goals for Tottenham. It's kind of annoying that they take it out on him so hard. But he's such an integral part of the system. So when it's not clicking, it's easy to blame him for it. But it's not his fault, I don't think.
I don't blame him, especially because I didn't know who he was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. And now, so you've seen him really just excel. He should be your favorite player.
Is he like a full-time starter, all-the-time player, or is he like a swing player that they bring in sometimes when necessary?
He came on, he was very young, and he's supposed to be a sub. I think the idea, he's like incredibly fast. And the idea was he's like a super sub. He comes on in the 60th minute when the other team is gassed, and he just like runs straight at his defender, sends a bunch of crosses into the box. But then early, the beginning of last season, there was like a whole bunch of injuries, and he started starting. And I think now, he's still maybe a starter, but you know, Odegaard is injured. There's two forward starting options, I think. It's like Kulishevsky, Son, Solanke, or Son, Johnson, Solanke. You know, when Solanke was injured, then they put Son in the middle. So yeah, I think he's kind of like a first and a half choice starter.
Are there like closers in soccer like they are in baseball, where it's like, this guy's good for 30 minutes at the end of a match, like a sixth man in basketball? Like, he's not the best player, but like he can turn the match around, so we keep him for the second half.
Yeah, I think so. I think there are some like really talented, especially like veterans that like don't have 90 minutes in the tank.
Yeah.
They get Olivier Giroud used to get thrown on late in matches to like go try to score an equalizer or a win or something.
Yeah, the Russell Westbrook of soccer, where it's just like, just unleash this beast for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs
otherwise
did with Richarlison.
Not that good.
Right. Sometimes I also think sometimes they're just like, okay, nothing's working. I'm going to throw an agent of chaos in there. Just a maniac to go in.
A coyote is on the pitch.
Right. Do some shithousery, frustrate this team.
See if
and
you
hopefully
can bite
like break
someone's
their
calf.
Defense.
Let's see if you can pop the ball.
Yeah, kind of. What did you make of the Vicario handball outside the box? Because people would be talking about that.
I didn't notice/see that part. So walk me through what that was and why it mattered.
So I think the Spurs are up 2-1 at this point, but Brentford is creating some pressure for sure. Cross goes into the box. Vicario comes out to kind of like either claim it or punch it away. He doesn't get a very good touch on it. So he like slaps the ball, and then he's jumping outside of his penalty box. So he's not allowed to use his hands outside of the penalty box. He hits it one more time, I think maybe marginally inside the penalty box. And then there's kind of, when his feet land outside the penalty box, there's a third touch, but you can't really tell if he touches it and bats his hand away or what.
Yeah.
But a lot of people would be saying that should be a red card. It's an intentional handball that's taking away an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. But then I was also seeing online that people say that's a yellow card. That's actually just a reverse free kick for a handball because there were defenders in the box still, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like, according to the spirit of the rule, it wasn't a handball outside the penalty. He didn't like, you know, like that. Let's reserve that rule for an egregious violation. And that was like, could go either way. It wasn't in the spirit of the law.
Yeah, I do worry. He seems a little unsettled when the ball is high up in the air. He's a great keeper. But when the ball is in the air, he's just like, doesn't quite know what to do. He's like, should I punch it? Should I catch it? Should I go back to my line? And then he just kind of like short circuits.
Why do some prefer the slap and some prefer the punch? It seems like with the punch, you can get more strength, but less accuracy. Slap, you can really decide where to hit the ball.
I think it's all about, like, if you get a good punch, then you should punch it away. But if you're not good at it, if you just go up, try to punch it, you kind of miss, it rolls down your arm, bounces right to an attacking player's feet.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's bad. And then you also, you know, why don't you jump up and try to catch it sometimes? Well, maybe you're not that good at catching it. Maybe you're just going to let it deflect into your own goal or something. I think slapping it feels like just the safest thing because you're going to keep it from going into your goal and you know, also from going in like a totally chaotic direction. You can kind of direct it, but it's still not that powerful.
So where are we in the season right now? What's our record overall?
I think we're one loss, two losses, one draw, two losses, two wins, and one draw.
Got two, it. One, so and two, hovering around 500.
Yeah, we're 10th on the table.
Wow, exactly in the middle?
Yeah, I think we're tied for a bunch of other... okay, so we are 2-1-2. 7 points. So we're tied actually with Manchester United. We're ahead on goal differential. But the top team, Manchester City, has 13. So... you know, their two dropped games and us having two wins, we're still pretty bunched up.
But that feels correct to be right in the middle. It's like, can beat the bad teams, lose to the good ones, 500 record. And it'll be interesting to see on Sunday, is it, when we're playing the other mediocre team. That's what separates the fifth from the 15th. Can you beat the other average squads?
And... United, I don't think, should be considered an average squad. It's a long, like, they should be good. They're a top team for sure. But listen to these stats right here. This is from the Tottenham Reddit. We are in league position. We're 10th, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Average possession, 63.2%, first. Crosses, 126. We are ranked first. Passes into the penalty area, 71. We're first. Shots on target, 33. We are first. Touches in the final third, 1,267. We are ranked first. So a lot of these
opportunities are there. We must be in last with a bunch of stuff then for it to average out to middle.
Got to be, I mean, goals conceded, we have to be last. We definitely, everybody can score on us at least once. I don't think have we gotten a clean sheet? Oh, we got one against Everton, right? So yeah, we're definitely last in some regards.
But also like in terms of like goals per chances, it must be last. Like if Spurs' chances are first and their goal score is somewhere in the middle, it's got to be like, you know, 1% of crosses lead to a goal, which is dead last or something like that.
Yeah, we're not great at finishing, which is why it was so exciting that Solanke got his first goal.
Yeah.
If that guy can start finishing goals for us, if he's a good target in the box, I think that's very good. Unlocks a lot of potential.
It's like a football team. It's like we spend most of the game in the red zone. That's great. When we get there, we lead the league in turnovers and missed field goals, which is not good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot like that. And then it's also like if in football you can get countered on. We lead the league in pick sixes probably.
Yeah, like, where you just stop throwing those interception slants where the guy just grabs the ball and heads the other way.
And then everybody just sort of turns off on defense. I thought everybody looked great. Like, did you have a player that stood out for you when you were watching the highlights?
Madison looked good. Madison looked like he was in control. I like a good point guard out there, setting people up, scoring when necessary.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It seems like he's in form.
Alexander Madison. His name is Alexander Madison.
Yeah.
And there's 1,000 scorers he has in gold. Just you score. Just you pass.
Uh-huh. The stadium where it happened. The stadium where it happened.
A beer hits you.
Ow. I have an idea for a new chant, as all.
Yeah, he's as all. Yeah, I want to talk to people that come up with the chants and how those happen. Like, everybody knows them, but like there has to be the beginning of it.
Yeah, it seems like there's like a Twitter that's called Spurs Song Sheet that like kind of makes announcements for it. Did you hear the one that I sent it to you that for Sonny to the tune of Zombie?
No, that's pretty good. Like,
he's in your head. He's in your head. Sonny, Sonny. It's great.
Are they all based on popular songs?
I think so. Yeah. And then there's some that are like, you know, old. I think there's some like that are, you know, just old like chants that they put different players on. That's players' names into. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get into there. I want to ideally come up with a few options to pitch on the pitch for the chance to have a chant. Awesome. Is that too much to ask?
There was a new one for Madison last year when he was in like when he was just firing from all cylinders, and it was oh, give it up baby to the give it up baby now, James Madison.
I feel like we could beat that.
He was born to play for Tottenham.
That seems like a hard one for everyone to get into.
Yeah, not for me. I love it.
I'll try to find a YouTube compilation of best and worst chants and / songs, because they're all song parodies, which is right up my alley anyway.
Yeah, you would love it. It's very weird.
All right. So about 500 through matches, and with a big one coming up on Sunday. Fingers are crossed.
Yeah. And a Europa fixture coming up midweek.
Oh, Jesus. Another fucking tournament in the middle of the other tournaments in the middle of the other season.
There's a lot of matches happening, but I don't think you want to miss Tottenham play Carabag FK. Do you?
I don't know where that is.
Neither do I, but I assume Turkey.
They're 30th in the Turkey. Bundesliga.
Carabag. Oh, nope. They're from Azerbaijan.
Of course.
Yeah. And it looks like they are, wow, they're leading the Azerbaijan Premier League with 15 points.
Jesus.
5 wins and a loss. So that's actually a dangerous game. We're going to need your support. We're going to need you to watch. That's on Thursday at 3 p.m. 2 a.m. No, Thursday at noon for you. You can absolutely watch that.
Oh, that's good. I just need to find the channel that actually carries it. Like sometimes it's on Peacock, sometimes it's on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I think that one is going to be on Paramount Plus.
That one's on Vudu or Tubi.
Yeah, that one is. Oh, it's on VIX. Do you have VIX?
VIX. It's either on VIX. The Vapo Rub. You just sort of rub it on your chest. No, it's and on Paramount watch Plus the game.
Too. It's on Paramount Plus.
Okay,
that's good. Just set your VPN to Azerbaijan, and you should be good to go.
Right. Yeah, that's the problem. Okay. All right. Good work. Go Spurs.
Great work.
And we'll be back next week.
Wait, are you fully Coys?
I'm trending up. I would like to see, because Manchester United was the other team I was considering. Everyone says that they're sort of the Lakers of the Premier League, so it'll be a big match on Sunday for my heart as well.
I see.
Who's their best player?
Tough to say. I mean, I think they all suck, but Hoyland, Garnacho, or Marcus Rashford, who's kind of been
getting heard of Rashford.
Benched. So it's tough to say. They had Ronaldo.
That's pretty cool.
Was cool. Ten Hag benched him. And then he left.
Bye for now.